Good morning. It's good to have everyone here today. I'll be bringing the lesson this hour. I know over the last few weeks, Josh been doing that on Sunday mornings. He's done a great job. And he's going to be back in the pulpit next Sunday for, we don't know how long this deal with Bill will last, but we know that we're in good, capable hands. If you're visiting with us today, we're happy that you're here. We hope that you stay. Our fifth Sunday here is the Friends Day. It's time of a fellowship meal. We will have a fellowship meal afterwards. If this is your first time visiting with us on fifth Sunday for the fellowship meal, I can assure you we have plenty of food, but we don't have plenty of desserts. There's a few of us that partake of that, and we sure hope that if you're here with us today that you'll stay with us for a time of fellowship afterwards. On Friends Day, one of the things I do, I haven't met everyone, but I do believe we have people as far away from Oklahoma with us today. I believe they get the prize. The Victoria, Texas? Okay, let's see. Victoria, Texas, that's in-state and further, but it's out-of-state, Oklahoma, so okay. Y'all have to share the prize. You get to, the prize is you get to go to the dessert table after Danny and I. Lesson for this morning, having a heart of God, or seeking a heart of God. The songs that we sang this morning, I Will Call Upon the Lord, Step by Step, both of those come from the Psalms written by David. And also, 666, draw us nearer to God. We think about that theme or that concept today, how would you like to be remembered? Because for each and every one of us, whether we desire it, look forward to it, or not, if this world stands long enough, we will be remembered. How do you want to be remembered? You know, you can flip over to the book of Hebrews, the 11th chapter, and you can read about Noah, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Moses. And then there's a list there at the bottom. What about Samson, David? What about all these others? Gideon, time would fail me if I told about all them. How do you want to be remembered? We can open the New Testament and look at the life of Paul, the life of Peter. Oh, they're great examples. They're great examples of people from God's Word that sought the heart of God. This morning, if you have your New Testament, and maybe you're old, if you really want to follow in-depthly along, you'd like to turn to the book of Acts. Book of Acts, chapter number 13. I'm going to have a short reading there. And Paul, one of those that we look up to as an example of the Christian faith. In verse 16 of chapter 13, it says, Paul arose, motioned with his hand, he said, Men, Israelites, and those who reverence God, listen. The God of this people Israel chose our fathers and raised up the people during their sojourn in Egypt, leading them out with a strong arm or a mighty arm. He carried them tenderly in the wilderness as a nursing father for about 40 years. He destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan and gave them the land. And after these things, he gave them judges until Samuel, the prophet, for about 450 years. And then they asked or desired a king, and God gave them Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin for 40 years. And after God removed him, Saul, he raised up David as their king, of whom he said, I have found David, Jesse's son, a man after my heart, who will do all of my will. If we desire the heart of God, I think we can look at the life of David today, this morning, and we're going to see five different characteristics of someone who desires and who chooses and who pursues the heart of God. If you have your Old Testament and you like to turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 119 will be where we start today, looking at those five characteristics, and then we will go to book of Samuel. And if you'll notice, and you know the Bibles that I use when I'm up here, you'll notice this is the New Testament. And you'll know that 1 and 2 Samuels in the Old Testament, so you'll know that those points will go rather quickly. I appreciate you, brother. I love you. You're a man after my own heart. All right, here we go. In Psalm 119, so how do we get this? How do we pursue? How do we get the heart of God? How can God look at us as he looked at David and said, there's a person, man or woman, son, father, mother, daughter, there's a person after my own heart. How do we get that? Verse 15, I will meditate on your precepts and have respect for all your ways. I delight myself in your statutes and I will not forget your word. Number one, if you're going to seek the heart of God, to have the heart of God, the priority in your life has to be your personal relationship with God. And you can't have a personal relationship with someone that you don't respect. If you look at what we just read in verses 15 and 16, I'll have respect for all your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. Where do we get the statutes from? God's word. How do we know what we need to do? How do we know what God accepts? His statutes, his word. And if I don't respect God's word, I'm not going to respect him. And if I'm not going to respect him, I'm surely not going to be someone that he's going to look at and say, you're a person after my own heart. David pursued his entire life, even the times that, and David's not a perfect example, as no man is, except Jesus Christ. David pursued excellence with his relationship with God. He came up short. He wound up, he made mistakes. Lust in his heart. He was an adulterer, he killed, you know. He made mistakes. But the purpose of his life, he understood, was to pursue and make in his life a top priority his personal relationship with God. And when we open up God's word today and we look at it and we see the statutes that's there and we read that, he loved us and he loved us that he gave his son and his son came and his son died. And after his resurrection, as proof of his messiahship, the Spirit came. The Spirit told the apostles to preach. And the preaching of the apostles talked about baptism and rules of worship and acts of worship and things that we need to do. Today, in our religious world, if you jump on Facebook, James Parker, James and I had this conversation the other night. I love technology. I'm not good at it, but I love it because I can process information. I love to get the information. Some of it's good, some of it's bad, some of it's in between, some of it's wherever it is. But you don't have to be on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or whatever else is out there to know that in our society today, there's a lack of respect for God's word. That there's a lack of respect for the way God wants things done. And it doesn't matter if it's corporate worship or if it's personal application in life. You can pick one or the other. You can pick both. Doesn't matter to me. But it matters to God. And my question is, those people that don't respect God's word, you have to ask yourself, are they truly, with all their significance in their life, made in his very own image, or are they seeking the personal relationship that he wants with them? And I would submit to you that when you don't respect God's word, you're not. Personal relationship with God starts with his word. Point number two. We make a personal relationship with God our first priority. And number two, we place our trust, our faith, our obedience, whatever you want there. And all those three things are necessary and equivalent in some way, shape, or form. When we have trials and difficulties and temptations, you place your trust, your faith, your obedience, whether you understand it or not, in God. David did that early on in his life. In 1 Samuel 17, the rest of the Israelite army was cowered down to a 9-foot guy by the name of Goliath. And what does David do? He says, who is this guy that defies the armies of the living God? Who is it? And why has no one gone out there to fight him? All the Philistines wanted was a representative battle. Because they thought, hey, nobody can beat our champion. And without God, without trusting in God, without having faith in God, they would have been right. Because all those that were cowards had stayed up there. All they needed to do was step out in faith and follow God. Because that's all David did. And when David did that, God blessed him far more than he probably ever thought he would be blessed, because he trusted in God, stepped out in faith, and he obeyed God. He knew that God was going to take care of him in his trials, in his temptations, and in his difficulties. Because when David goes before Saul, what does he say? He says, this Goliath's been a warrior from his youth, and you are but a youth yourself. He says, the God who delivered me from the paw of the bear and the lion will do what? He's going to deliver me today. You see, David understood and looked back to his life when God had carried him. And we have all seen the little things, the footsteps in the sand. Yeah. That's reflection in your life to see when God's been in your life when you didn't even realize it. Point number three. Boy, doing good today, aren't we, church? Amen. There you go. Okay. You place your trust in God. You make your relationship with God a top priority. And number three, you have a passionate desire to obey God. David had that passionate desire. And you say, well, you know, I know about some other passionate desires he had that wasn't so godly. You'd be right. But he also had a passionate desire to do the right thing to and for God's people. Because after David and Goliath had had their battle and God had delivered David and delivered the Israelites from the Philistines from that battle, David became a national hero. Saul gave him money, exempt him from taxes, and said, there's my daughter, take her too. She wasn't no prize, but she was part of the package deal. That good, huh, Gene? David looked the part of a national hero, and Saul despised that. David going to town. Saul's killed his thousands. David his tens of thousands. Saul did not like that at all. So Saul took a bounty out on David, tried to kill him. And twice, David had the opportunity to kill King Saul, and he didn't lift his hand toward God's anointed because he said, I just can't do that. That's not right. God has anointed him. He's the anointed one right now, and I'm not going to raise my hand against him. In time, when God's timing was right, that change and exchange of power from the house of Saul to the house of David took place. But during that time period, David was obedient to what God said to do. Point number four. You have and you demonstrate a spirit of humility. You have and you demonstrate a spirit of humility. David was a handsome man, his accomplished musician, national hero, anointed king, great house. It'd been easy for him to be prideful because he had a lot. He had a lot. But as he lived his life, you see that he wasn't that way. I asked Josh if he would to read a verse, and it's from 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter, verse 18. Go ahead.
Then King David went in and sat before the Lord and said, who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house that you have brought?
Who did he give the credit to? Thank you, Josh. Who did he give the credit to? God. Who delivered him? God. Who am I? Who am I? And what is my house? Nothing except you brought me to where I am. Today, you're here in the assembly. You're here. Maybe you're struggling with your relationship with God. Maybe you have struggles in your life. I don't know what they are, but I can assure you that God does know what they are. And I can assure you whatever they are, however personal, however significant they are, God has brought you to where you are today. And if you trust Him and you make a priority relationship for Him in your life, He will carry you through whatever difficulties that you have. Because He's a good God and He blesses those who love Him and obey Him. Lastly, David demonstrated a spirit of servanthood. When he was a young man, he was out keeping sheep for his father. He was obedient to his father. When he became the national hero and the war hero, he served Saul. As he became king, he served others. He served the Lord. Throughout his life, it's not something that he started when he became king. It's something that he started when he was a youth. And it went through his life the entire time. This spirit of servanthood. A few years back, we had a young man, and he was played football for us, and he, he had some talent, but he wasn't gonna play college football. He's just a good high school football player. And we would finish eating at football camp, and we'd have a group of kids, either freshmen or sophomores or juniors or seniors. They were all responsible for, one group would be responsible for cleaning up. This young man, for a meal, this young man, it didn't matter if it was his class or not. It didn't matter how well everyone else did. It didn't matter if they missed something or got something or there was a dirty spot in the table, he'd get a towel and he'd go do it himself. Is it any wonder that guy, that young man, is now doing his residency, and I can't even say the word probably right. Pediatric neurosurgery. Because I looked at the young man and I said, you know what? Ain't nothing going to be wrong with Munns. They says, why's that? I said, anybody that'll clean up a table that's not his mess at his age, because he's only 15 at the time, I said, he's going to turn out all right. He's in the city of Houston now doing his residency in pediatric neurosurgery. Servanthood is something that you can work on yourself and you can have a passionate part in your life about. But I think the thing that sets David apart, as you look at those five characteristics we've looked at today, is that he was passionate about what he wanted to do and what he wanted to have. He was passionate about his servanthood. He was passionate about his humility, and he lived it. He was passionate about his relationship with God and his respect for God's Word. Do you realize that two of the songs that we sang today came straight from the words that David wrote out in the Psalms? Really? 3,500 years later, we're still singing songs that he wrote. Why? Because of his passion. When we leave here today, I would urge you, beyond any words that I could say, that you internalize the message today and that you passionately seek God every day in your life, that you passionately work on your relationship with Him, because if you work on that relationship, your relationship with others is going to be good. That you work on servanthood and humility and all the things that David worked on and improved in his life. Because when you read Scripture and you go over to Acts 13, and you see that scripture, here's David, a man after my own heart. What do we want God, the last great day of judgment, to call us? A person after his heart. Not after what we want, not after what someone else wanted for us, but what he wants for us. Today, if you need to obey the gospel, the water stand ready. If you're willing to make your confession of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, now's the time to do that and be passionate about him the rest of your life. If you've made that commitment to be passionate about God and the fires of your Christianity have somewhat evaded and eroded, and we can help you in any way through prayer and encouragement, it's the invitational time, and we always have it, and it's a time for us to examine our lives and to see if we need the Lord in any way. And if you do, he's a mighty God to save today, like he's always been. If you need him, please make it known while together we stand and while we sing.